than murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. You were a little delayed there with the Overcast. You kind of look like Lamar Jackson and Mark Andrews on that last play in the game.
I did that on purpose, see? I was hoping you caught on.
Yeah, there you go. Well, here we are.
Wow.
Once again, another.
That's all I got to say is wow.
Oh, yeah. Another Ravens-Steelers game in the books. Unfortunately, another Steelers win. But again, like the trend with this whole season, 6 inches the other way, and we're talking about how this team looks unstoppable. They always find ways to win. It was down to the wire once again with the Baltimore Ravens. Unfortunately, it did not go their way. I guess we should start with the ending of that game, because I think you and I can have a really good discussion here. The Ravens, they tied up the game, and Coach Harbaugh goes for two. You sent me a text message right after that game started, or game ended, I mean, and you just, you were not happy with that call. So let's go over. What are your thoughts on that last play, that two-point conversion? Why were you unhappy then? Are you still unhappy now? What are your thoughts?
No, I wish I could retract that. That was a knee-jerk reaction. After the aftermath of the game, I'm actually 100% on board with going for it. And obviously you're like, yeah, I'm going to backtrack. You obviously got my receipt and I'm going to turn in my receipt and for a new decision. First knee jerk reaction. Cause like, we're all excited. Of course, we just basically almost tied the game. I'm beside myself. I didn't think it was going to happen. So obviously it was an emotional wreck. Cause I'm like already mad. Cause thinking we lost the game, and then they go right down the field and score a touchdown. And you're not the only one that received that message. As soon as they were lining up, I'm like, no, no, no. I'm like holding my head and like screaming at TV, like, no, kick it. What are you doing? No, don't, no. And then I'm like, and then I calm down. Obviously, I was visibly upset still. I go walk my dog. And then I'm like, you know what? Going for it was awesome there. Here's why I wanted to change my statement and definitely want to get your take as well. So bringing it all back in and thinking about it, the gambling man that I am, obviously, this isn't casino, this isn't poker, but it's a calculated risk. Going for it was a risk. Going for it on the road against the Steelers is a risk. You obviously either make it or you don't. You have to execute the play and we win the game. If you don't execute, obviously we're sitting here dissecting why didn't do it. Let's set the record straight. I love the call of going for it now. I would do it 10 times out of 10. What I didn't like was the fact that our offense, for some reason, there's no rhythm to it, right? You don't know what you're going to get with a particular set of plays. And the play call itself was correct, I believe, because you sold out the run. You had Mark Andrews essentially wide open. The throw just wasn't made. And obviously, and I posted a picture of a still and I circled everybody. I'm like, the line's all on the ground. You have TJ White being disruptive as he is right on Lamar. And it probably caused the throw to be offline. And obviously we understand it hit Andrews' hands. You know, there's been a lot of scrutiny, right? I've seen it all. Andrews sucks. He should have caught it. If he's so awesome, he should have caught it. Well, if Lamar was awesome, he should have made the play. If there's a lot to dissect. What I have a problem with is just that. If you take a still of that play, like I posted and all the yellow circles I put on there, the play had a bigger chance of being disrupted because of our offensive line play. The play didn't develop as we wanted to, because look, Where was the line? They're all laying on the ground. All the Steelers in the backfield. Lamar's trying to throw a crisp pass to Mark Andrews. You have TJ Watt right in his grill. Like, what are you going to do? And that was my fear. Again, I love going for it, but I don't love the situation because our offense has continually been disrupted. Again, how many sacks did Lamar have in the game? What, six, seven, eight, yeah, something around that realm?
I think it was seven, yeah.
He's constantly under pressure. So you have a bigger chance of the play blowing up than being executed at that point. I even said this online. Yeah, you could really rewind the tape all the way back to the first quarter when that beautiful first drive and Lamar trying to be a hero again, throwing it to Mark Andrews. This wasn't the last game against the Browns. Like, I know it worked for you before, bud, but it's not going to work every time. You could even argue that, okay, well, that turnover costs us 3 points at least because they were in field goal range. Obviously, you take that away. Really doesn't, because look, Steelers don't make their two-point conversion prior to the Ravens trying their attempt. We still win the game outright with a touchdown. So, very simply, you know, you can break this game down any way you want. Steelers made their two-point conversion, the Ravens didn't. I mean, but what, bro, I can even go back to the text messages. And I am going to, because I can't remember a time where I was frustrated. But while I'm looking up that, did you agree with the call at the end? Disagree? Aftermath, you want to change it? What are your thoughts on everything that unraveled in that last play?
You see, I was hoping that your mind wasn't going to change and you were still mad about this call, because you know what? I loved it. I absolutely loved it.
I see one in a disagreement.
Yeah. I wanted an argument going because I absolutely loved it. So when.
All right. Sorry to disappoint you, bud. I did change my mind.
This definitely felt like high school football, Friday Night Lights, Coach Taylor with the Dillon Panthers. You know, I love that TV show. But when they cut the camera and you look at Harbaugh and he has his two fingers up, I'm like, oh my God, they're going for two. They want to end this game now. They want to be aggressive. I love it. I love it. I want to see this gamble. The Ravens, like you said, it's not just luck, but the Ravens have been lucky this season. They're going to press their luck again, and I loved it. Tony Romo on the call. I know a lot of people aren't happy with Tony Romo and the way that he calls games. I think he's a great broadcaster. I love the fact that he gets the Ravens game sometimes. I wish he got them more. But when he was like, oh man, I hope they go for two. Why don't just go for two? I know they're going to kick a field goal, but go for two. Let's end it now. Let's do it here. Let's do it that. And then the other broadcaster goes, Tony, they're going for two. And he just got giddy. It was, as a fan to watch, a blast. I mean, I was not sitting down at this point. I actually did have to do some work at that same time as the game, but I stopped what I was doing at work and I just stood in front of my TV watching this history go down. And I'm like, I can't believe they're going for two. I love it. When Harbaugh said Marlon Humphrey went down, I'm out of cornerbacks. I'm going for two because I don't think this defense can stop Big Ben even in an overtime. I think it clicked with a lot of people. It made a lot of sense. But I love the fact that Harbaugh goes for it. He's aggressive, and I think it kind of showed that he does have faith in Lamar and the offense. Now, whether that might be a little misplaced faith in them is one thing. I think he was probably thinking two plays down the road into the next game, where it was that feeling again, like, Lamar, you want to go for it? Yeah, coach, give me the ball. I want to go for it. I think he was looking for one of those moments again to motivate Lamar in this game and the next. Now, unfortunately, it didn't work out like it has in the past. But I love the fact that they went for two. I thought the play call was a smart idea. TJ Watt, you know, there's a reason why he's so good. There's a reason why.
And he's paid. And he's paid.
And why he's paid so much. He got into.
And while we were mad, he got eligible to play because this reason.
Yeah. Very, very happy he was tested negative for COVID. Very happy
he had the ability to play. Yeah.
But really a bummer that he was there. Like, because I think we're talking about a Ravens win right now if TJ Watt isn't on that field. He knew from playing Lamar in the past that he has to get close to Lamar. Lamar juked him out before. He said this in a post-game press conference. He got juked out by Lamar before. He knows, I got to get to him quicker. I gotta make sure he doesn't have the view that he would if I'm a little bit slower. And that's why he was off with that throw to Mark Andrews. TJ Watt did his job correctly. You can't fault the guy for that. But I feel as if, You know, it was the right call at the time. I like being aggressive. I like the fact that Coach Harbaugh went for it. Do I wish it Mark Andrews could have caught it? Yeah, absolutely I do. But do I fault him for going for it? Nah, not at all. Finish the game in regulation. Let's do it. Your team's worn out. It is a rough and tumble game. And Big Ben came to play. Big Ben walked down that field. You know, he was able to get around Anthony Averett, get that ball into his receiver's hands, and easy touchdown for them. Who's to say without Marlon Humphrey on the field, he could just get a coin flip. Potentially he could win that one, and Big Ben could do the exact same thing in overtime. So it's I think Harbaugh going for it and the Ravens going for it, I love it. I loved every minute of it, except for, you know, the part where we didn't win.
Oh, absolutely. Now hearing what you're taking, yeah, I mean, you can't fault, you know, the Steelers players for making plays. And again, be honest with you, I didn't even know Marlon was hurt. Maybe because I was so, you know, enthralled with the game itself. Sorry, I didn't know, you know, he was hurt. So when the aftermath, and I'm not saying Harbaugh's statement changed my mind on my stance, but when I read that, I'm like, he's hurt? What? Now, but you're right, it makes sense because – if we have no corners left and we can't stop them already. And it was a frustrating game because we stopped them many times before that. And then right at the last minute, they decided to just, okay, let's go score. The game was very much in reach for either team for the longest time. But what I'm very mad about and frustrated, and I got the stats up here. So at one point in the game, all right, this text message was sent. I don't know when the stats were, but it was sent halfway before. I know, I think the Ravens at least had 7 points because they only showed one rushing touchdown. So at one point, I took a screenshot of the Ravens app of some stats, and I sent it to a friend of mine. I was like, we are dominating. We had 99 rush yards to their 24 at this point in the game. And again, I don't know what point this was. We had one rushing touchdown to their zero, so we know at least it was after the big drive. We had 16 first downs to the Steelers' 5. We had 7 of those first downs were rush first downs to the Steelers' 1. And then 7 of those were passing. And then we had 2 penalty first downs to break it down. Here's the interesting and awesome stat at that point in time. Time of possession, Brandon. 28 and a half minutes favor the Ravens. So the Steelers, 8 minutes and 46 seconds.
Wow.
And we know the Ravens dominated. I mean, look, you see the chart, you see the big circle. Look,
yeah.
Look how lopsided that is. When you have the ball for nearly 30 minutes of a probably over four, they had the ball for nearly 30 minutes at that point in the game. And they only had 7 points to show for it. We know they had a turnover in the red zone. Can't happen. First drive was beautiful. You know, executing on third down. Keeping the drive alive, going right down. We had it. I thought we were going to score 7 first and punch him in the mouth and really just pour it on. Resilient to the Ravens. And 99, I think it was a 10-play, 10-minute, 99-yard touchdown drive. Bravo. That was fantastic. Capped off by a Devonta Freeman touchdown run. Drive of the year. I don't care if obviously they did lose the game. Drive of the year. I mean, that was – immaculate. That was perfection. 90. I mean, we were all pissed off, right? Steelers pinned us deep. Here they go. They're playing Renegade in the stadium. The towels are twirling and we're pinned against the 1 yard line. Didn't phase the Ravens. They didn't blink. And then they scored first. 7-0 drew first blood. The game was in balance for a long time. It was 7-3. The Ravens dominated every facet of the game except the scoreboard for a while. And that's what led me to really get frustrated because, again, letting the Steelers hang around. They're letting them hang around. They're letting them hang around. And then eventually they're going to crack the code. They're going to get theirs. And then you're going to sit here wondering why. That's a big, big telling fact. The fact that the Ravens have only scored in the teens in 4 straight games and are 2-2 in that regard, I don't know. You tell me, man. They got to score more. I mean, they scored in 30 points against the Vikings, and then it's kind of like they forgot how to score points at a clip. You know, there's so much to unpack in this game. I mean, the defense, bravo. They held the Steelers off for so long, so much long, and then just couldn't do it anymore. Offense, streaky. Where's the 99-yard drive? We've seen it. Then it takes them till the end of the game to get the eventual almost a game winner or game tire at that point. Who knows? You know, where's the Lamar that was at the Colts game that just took over the game and just was like winning the ball? We know this offense can do it. You know, Rashad Bateman getting one target, not going to happen, not going to cut it. Where was Hollywood Brown? Joe Hayden was not playing in this game for the Steelers. You can't sit there and tell me that, well, we get it. A lot of those sacks are coverages because Lamar's going through his progressions. You know, and I'm sorry, he's got to step it up, bro. Regressed since 19, not reading defenses correctly. I don't care. You can blame the line all you want. Well, you don't have the time. What do you expect? Get the ball quick. You know, I feel like – and he was almost a whole second slow when Tony Romo broke it down, the Mark Andrews touchdown. I wanted that back. Ravens could have won it outright. You know, the play to Mark Andrews, if he'd have seen him break off the line when the blitz happened, he would have had Mark Andrews for touchdown steady, waited, and then he threw the incomplete pass. It was it was Aaron throw. So he just got to do a better job of reading it. And I know it's easy for us when we watch replays, and it's easy for us to watch on TV, but – you know, when we're not having NFL defenders fly in our face at field level. But, dude, Lamar's got to step it up, man. The Ravens have a problem on their hands with this whole contract situation. That's another story. But I don't know, man. It's to me, this team is too stinking talented just to be mediocre. I mean, you can call the injuries what it is. It is far to overcome. I get it. They've remade their whole running back room. But the Ravens are an 8-4 football team. They're still a 13 AFC playoffs with 5 weeks left. So they ain't like we ain't like the Lions celebrating the first win. You know, I mean, for some miraculous, crazy reason, this team has 8 wins. You know, whether it's by design, whether it's by talent, or whether it's just by things falling into place, I'm not sitting here saying the Ravens are lucky. You can't. There's no luck in the NFL 100%. But dude, it's just frustrating all around. Like, it's just, you know, whether you want to blame Harbaugh, you want to blame Roman, you want to blame Lamar, you want to blame the line, you want to blame the injuries. The injuries are going to become too far to overcome now. Marlon's out for the year. So, another one. Now you got to have Chris Westry and Jimmy Smith and Anthony Aver step up, and who knows if they even make a signing at this point. It's just – at one point, is what's enough is enough. The Ravens have gone through so much this year, and we can continue to be rah-rah, right? And go, all right, next man up, and clear eyes, full hearts, can't lose, and put your best, you know, full forward. I know you love that. And put your best foot forward and trudge through and don't quit. But at some point, you just got to be like, man, this team's going through it. And they have a big, big wall to climb because, yeah, they're still in first place, but it's razor thin now, and they have no room for error. So I don't know. But if the playoffs started today, they'd be hosting a home playoff game as a third seed as a division winner. So guess count the blessings somehow. You know, it's the season of giving, but Ravens got to take more than they can give right now, man, because they just can't expect things. They can't step on the field and expect it to just happen. They got to make it happen, and they just got to put it together, man. And I don't know. Right now, it's just a big question mark. I don't know. They're at a crossroads right now.
Absolutely, they are. They 100% are. But I don't know if there's any NFL team out there right now that is putting more pressure and are expecting this much out of their quarterback. Lamar is expected to do everything right now in this offense. And I don't know if it's team-imposed or self-imposed. You know, I do worry about that. The big drawback with RG3 when he showed up in this league is that he put the team on his back voluntarily, and that's what got him hurt against the Ravens and Haloti Ngata. He was doing things that he didn't have to do. So I don't know if it's the team or if it's Lamar doing that. It worries me about seeing how much he has to do every single game. There was one play, and it was the beginning. I want to say it was before that first interception in the end zone. I want to say it was the play right before that one. And I think Lamar tried to run. There was nothing he could do. And he looks over to the sideline. The camera got this. It was very quick. It was very if you like, you weren't paying attention to the left side of the screen, you missed it. But there was a guy on a headset. Wasn't Harbaugh. I had not recognized this guy before, but he was in street clothes, had a headset on, had a clipboard. He looked at Lamar. He took a deep breath and then held his hands out and then pushed his hands down, pretty much telling him, calm down. You gotta breathe. And I think Lamar is getting frustrated. I think Lamar is I don't want to say collapsing underneath the pressure, because I don't think it's that, but I feel he's feeling the pressure. I guess I can feel comfortable saying that he's feeling the pressure, and you know, maybe his knees are starting to buckle a little bit underneath all of that pressure. There is no run game. Yeah, you know, our running backs, they're doing okay. But the only guy with any type of run to talk about is Lamar. The running back situation is non-existent. Lamar is getting some of these throws out to his wide receivers, and they're going off fingertips. So Lamar is doing well, but he's getting frazzled out there on the field, and I think it's because he's trying to force things to happen because he knows he doesn't have an option to run the ball unless it's him. He knows he only has so many targets because a guy like, you know, Nick Boyle isn't there. Not all his tight ends are there. Not all of his wide receivers are there. And the offensive line isn't giving him the time. You know, we got a Rashad Bateman from the draft last year. I'm really hoping this year coming up that they get someone in the first round and put him on that offensive line. No Ronnie Stanley, you know, right now. We know that throughout the whole season. It's Lamar is, I feel like he's expected to do too much, but like, I don't have the answer of what he should do instead, because there aren't any other options. Teams have figured out, limit the run by shutting down Lamar. That's easy. You're forcing him to throw. Now he's throwing the ball, but he's making some really dumb mistakes. Like you said, that play to Mark Andrews worked against the Browns. It's not going to work against the Steelers. We saw that. They did all that hard work getting down the field, and then they get to the end zone, and then he throws that interception. That was just bad. I mean, that was really bad. But
that started, it's kind of like it set the tone for the night, right?
Yeah.
You just came off a game where, granted, they still won, but we talked about it. He threw four picks, and he sat there and was like, don't own me. I got to do better. But then what's he do the first drive? Falls right back in the same pattern. So yeah. Now it's like, we're already skeptical. We're trying to cheer for you, bud. And they're like, all right, Lamar, all right, I hear you. Go out and do your thing.
Right.
And then he does that, and then you're sitting there in the living room watching, wherever you're at watching the game, and then you just want to cross your arms and sit there and go, well, you want to play better. It's more of the same. Here we go. Fifth interception in two games. Like, here we go. Like, now, again, you redeemed yourself, led the 99-yard touchdown drive, but then nothing after that, quiet, all the way to the end. And it's like, you know, I've had some good discussions, and I feel like Lamar's being held back. You know, the offense thrives when it's that hurry up, let him do his thing, wing and ding it, like, you know.
Right.
When he's got a ready defense, and again, you know, I get the NFL game is complex, but you know, and you can't control a lot of things that happen. Game flow, things happen, but Joe Flacco thrived in the same kind of rhythm. You know,
and they never let Joe do his thing. Joe always wanted to play shotgun, and he was never allowed to do that.
No, and that's the problem. That's where I'm going. These Ravens quarterbacks need to be unleashed. Let him go. Like we've always said, like, let Joe do his thing. No, Joe's not the under center, hand the ball off and like do these little check down screen passes. Like Joe's got a cannon, let Joe be Joe. And then you remember hearing him on the program, I think the America's game, whatever. Like he sat there right on the bench and yelled at Cam Cameron, we can't win a Super Bowl playing like this. Like you can't. And then no wonder Lamar's frustrated. I'm not saying, and again, I'm not putting the blame on Roman or Harbaugh, but I'm just saying, like, the offensive scheme, they're not letting Lamar fly. They're not Lamar, if he's not a pocket quarterback and all that, let him fly around. Let this be a West Coast offense, hurry up offense. You know, why don't you have a chart of 6, 7, 8, 9 plays in a row and just call them off, rattle them, and let him audible into 2 or 3 and be like, if you see this, do this. If you see this, do that. I don't know, number one, if he's even capable. I don't know if there's no trust there. I don't know, but let the guy play. Let him do his thing. Let him ball out. You know, it's kind of like we see it, I mean, I don't know if we've seen it firsthand, but I feel like the Colts game was a perfect example of that. Like, we're losing. Let's just go, just wing it down the ball. Let's just do, let him be him. And I just don't know if we're limited. And then you don't want to piss off the receivers, you know, because, you know, oh, they're not getting the looks or this or that. And the scheme's different. I don't know, but, you know, Greg Roman is still an offensive coordinator in the NFL for a reason, you know. Let him go in the lab, devise a plan, and let him do it. I don't know. I mean, we could be sitting here spitballing for hours, searching for answers, but something's got to change because, yeah, they're 8-4. You know, they play 12 games, won 8 of them. Great. 2/3 of their games are wins. That's still pretty awesome. They're 4 games above 500. Like, count your blessings. But at the same time, there are a lot more things on this side to worry about. If you look at a scale, there's a lot more problems and worrisomes than positives right now. You know, the injuries are mounting, the frustration with turnovers and bad play, you know, not putting it together, not scoring over, you know, 20 points. You know, they've scored in the teens the last 4 games. We covered it. It's not a recipe to win. And at this point, you know, I don't know, but you can certainly sense a frustration in my voice because it's just like, you know, this was the division win that we should have certainly had. And, you know, and I feel like with a better line situation and a better, and that's the thing. And what disheartens me is the coaches got to know that this line can't block, pass block. So why don't they call the plays to kind of like get him out of that? Like, instead of Lamar trying to be back in that pocket and maneuver, roll him out. Let him do his thing, like move it. If the pressure is going to happen, see, there's where I would like Lamar, instead of like, if I can go back and remember the play, Lamar kind of went straight back and then tried to pass it with Andrews. Why don't Lamar, as soon as he gets that and sees the pressure breakdown, why don't he roll out with Andrews on that same side and then hit him on the run, lead him a little bit. But Lamar's trying to throw it. And again, it could be the pressure. It could be a lot of people in his ear chirping like, hey, bro, you're a pocket passer, not a runner. So make sure you stand in there and don't. There's a lot of things to do. Maybe he should block out the noise. I don't know. Again, I'm just spitballing. But, you know, that's not Lamar. Lamar can't just sit back there. I think everybody wants him to be that because everybody's like, well, I don't like him to run, or he shouldn't be running. He shouldn't do this. I don't care. If he wants to run 2,000 yards in a season, let him. I don't really care. Everybody's like, well, if your quarterback shouldn't be doing that, I really don't care, because you're gonna say that running back shelf life are even shorter now because they're out there catching passes because they're a receiver now. Like, running backs are asked to do 2 jobs too. Like, they run and catch. I mean, we've seen it. Alvin Kamara had 15 catches in a game once, I believe. Like, running backs can still have like 8-9 catches and 100 yards receiving on top of the rushing. You're gonna say they shouldn't be doing that this well? I mean, you know. And I heard it. Maybe Lamar's doing too much. I don't know. I mean, I know I'm going off on a rant, but, bro, I'm just trying to search for answers, man, and discuss this thing because I just was disgusted, man. I wanted that win so bad against the Steelers. We all did. It was right there. And then we had to see this stupid talent twirling town and going crazy because they won the game somehow. And I'm like, it's the last thing we wanted to give them life. Now they're 6-5-1. You know, that team did not deserve to win that game. You know, the Ravens kind of like lost it. I wouldn't say the Steelers, you know, because again, dude, they haven't won since like what, week 9? Yeah. You know, they basically had a 3-game losing streak with a tie involved and a bye week. Like, they haven't won. They're not that good. There's a reason why they were 500 with a tie. Like, they are not that good. We were 4 or 5 games better than they were at that point. So, you know, to let them off the hook like that, you know, it's kind of like, okay, we'll see you again. And we understand, you know, the big story that broke with Big Ben. This is his final year. And that could have been ultimately the last time the Ravens played Big Ben in Pittsburgh. So obviously the number one, but if this is, I mean, the final ride for him, which should be, because I don't think he refuted it. What a final ride it's going to be. And I don't know if you saw the stats on that, but Big Ben's first game was in 2004 against the Ravens in Baltimore. It was a 30-13 Ravens win. Last game of the year is against Pittsburgh in Baltimore, and could be Big Ben's last ever NFL game. his last regular season game, if that, if they're going to make a playoff push. So interesting storybook ending. Can't script that. So end of an era, bittersweet, but we get one more crack at him to split them, not get swept. But we got another former, a very familiar divisional opponent coming up this Sunday, and it doesn't get any easier, man. The Cleveland Browns are next on the docket, man. And second road game in a row, divisional games, second time in 3 weeks we're seeing this team again. Got to deal with them. Got to deal with Baker. Got to deal with Myles Garrett again. Got to deal with Nick Chubb. Got to deal with Kareem Hunt. Got to deal with these guys. And they're going to look for really good revenge because they let that one off the hook. Just how the Ravens let the Steelers off the hook. They're a little pissed off too, like, because, you know, they had four turnovers for Lamar and couldn't cash in. So, you know, and they see now how the Ravens are now defeated. They're going to attack the Marlin injury. Bro, it's kind of like, now brace yourself, man, because it's going to get really turbulent.
This is a rough December. We've been saying that since the beginning of the season. This is a rough December for the Ravens. And the Ravens are coming off of a loss to the Steelers after that Browns game. The Browns are coming off of a bye week. So they went to the bye week against the Ravens. They're coming back from the bye week against the Ravens. So that means these Browns are well rested. Ravens went to battle with the Steelers in Pittsburgh. The Cleveland Browns, they had their feet up and chilling for a week. So they're going to be well rested. They're going to be ready to go because all they've been thinking about is that Ravens game that they had 2 weeks ago. So it's going to be a rough game. Now, let me ask you, it was Good Morning Football. It was a couple weeks ago. They were talking about the Ravens, and it was a guest. That was filling in for Nate Burleson, since that seat is empty right now. And they said that the Ravens were one injury away from not winning again. They were one injury away. That's what they've always been. It's one injury away, and they're not going to be winning again. And you and I were kind of like, well, yeah, that's any team. This certain, you know, if Dax goes down for the Cowboys, they're done for the season. This, that, whatever. Here we are. Another injury, yet another injury for the Ravens. Marlon Humphrey now is out for the year. So are the Ravens now at that point where they've had that one extra injury, are they done for the year? Because these cornerbacks that the Ravens will be looking at to defend and to make sure that they're breaking up any kind of passes from Baker Mayfield is a guy that's going to lead the team, Chris Westry, who missed a couple games already this year, who I have not been impressed with when I saw him at practice in a couple games, or it's going to be Jimmy Smith, who is very injury prone. Can he even get through the next 5 weeks? We don't know, but those are the two guys that will be leading the quarterback pack on the field in Cleveland. So what does the loss of Marlon Humphrey mean for this team moving forward, especially against the Browns? And what do you think of the leadership now for the cornerbacks? These guys are, you have Jimmy Smith, who is a veteran who you can count on for veteran leadership, but can you count on him to stay healthy? And then you've got Chris Westry, who is kind of unproven and unknown what he can do, and who already missed a few games due to an injury this year. Does he have the playing ability to lead this group? What are your thoughts?
Yeah, you're going to have to rely on Jimmy's leadership. Obviously, he's one of the few veterans that can get the job done. You're going to have to rely on not only him for the secondary room, but for defense in as a whole. Now, him and I would say Brandon Williams can share those responsibilities as being the elder statesman of the defense. You got Josh Bynes thrown in there as well. I mean, you can't replace Marlon Humphrey. Huge, huge loss, man. And I wish him well. And it's another tragic IR story that for some reason this year just wants to keep going. You know,
is it just this year though? I mean, how many years are we going to go through where half the team is on IR? I feel like we had this in the Joe Flacco era. We had this, Steve Smith's second to last year. Like it seems like every single year, the Ravens are the team that are most beat up. What is it? Is it something in the water in Baltimore? I don't know about what's happening.
I hope not. We all live here. plus I use water to make my coffee around here, so nothing better be in the water.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, you could really, really put that under the microscope and make another show about that, saying, okay, is it a training regimen? Is it with? No, I think as a whole, the sneak bit, the Ravens have just been truly sneak bit in that regard with the injuries, man. And you know, you could chalk it up as a black cloud. You can think the Ravens are just cursed. That's fine if you want to, excuse me, if you want to handle it that way, sure. But, you know, again, I just hate saying next man up, man. It's getting old, you know, and I know that's the mantra. You know, everybody's got to step up and do their job. Can't take on more than they can chew. You can't take on all the water. You can't take on all the jobs and responsibilities. You just can't. You got to trust the guys next to you. But it's going to be a tumultuous task, man. I mean, getting over a Marlon Humphrey injury now this late in the season.
Is it possible?
That's what I was about to say, but I was taking a breath. Is it doable? Is it possible? I don't know. I don't know if they can overcome that. And, you know, you pose the question of the Ravens are one injury away from losing pretty much out. And if that were to happen, that would be unprecedented. So, you know, one player does not make the team, but obviously you can't replace the talent that has been lost because they're all pros at their position. And that's the problem. You don't want anybody to get hurt. I don't care if they're practice squaders, third stringers, or first stringers, but the fact is when it is each and every key piece, I mean, if you literally look at it, you know, the Ravens lost all three of the running backs, Gus Edwards, J.K. Dobbins, Justice Hill, Marcus Peters, and Marlon Humphrey, gone, done, finito. I don't care if it was week one, practice week one, preseason week three, or this week, just with Marlon's case. The fact is they're gone, you know, Ryan Stanley out, gone, boom, gone. You know, apart from pretty much Lamar and Mark Andrews, what else can happen? You know, or keep everybody safe at this point in a way, man. The Grim Reaper needs to stop visiting Baltimore. That's what I need to say. But I don't know. And as we talk about, the Browns are going to exploit every weakness on this team. You know, they're going to attack. And you almost got to say prayers for a secondary at this point to hold up because, you know, you go from Baker in the divisional game, and then you got Aaron Rodgers coming to town in 2 weeks. And then you got a rematch against the Bengals, who, Lord knows, did what they did to Marlon Humphrey a month ago, or over a month ago. Like, don't get any easier. And then you got the Rams. Oh, and you got Steelers again. So, it's looking very, very, very slim. The way these Ravens games have been in the way this season, I guess you really can't count anything out and as possible. And let's see what happens week to week. But looking at it as a whole, I don't see how it gets done. I don't see how the Ravens even get to 10 or 11 wins to qualify. Who knows? It just might be a season that just goes off the rails. I hate to even go there. But right now, anything's possible. They have the chance to go 5-0 in five games. They go 0-5 or anywhere in between. So take your pick and see how it goes. But Ravens have a lot of work to do. A lot of work to do for Sunday. And at this point, you know, do I dare even go picking the Ravens against the Browns on Sunday on the road? It's really tough for me to trust it, especially after what has transpired and how the streaky and up and down play and now with the injuries. We don't know what that's going to look like for the Ravens. Now I'm just like, kind of like, you know, do I even make a prediction? You know, at this point, I just wait and see. I don't know, man. But, bro, it's looking bleak. I don't know. There's a lot of I don't knows at this point, and it's pretty concerning. If, I mean, I'm not the end all be on the Ravens, and I know neither are you, but, and I'm not the end result of any opinions out there. But if I don't sound confident, what's that tell you? Because usually I'm like, yeah, they're going to get done or they're not. Now I'm like, I don't want to take the easy way out and be like, I don't know. But, bro, I don't really know at this point. I really don't.
I mean, the Ravens seem to always be able to find a way to win, but I don't know if they can get over this one. Like you said, right. The guy on Good Morning Football said, they are one injury away. And Marlon Humphrey, that is a massive cog. I mean, he's like the engine to a car, you know, if you don't have the engine, it's, you know, you're not really going to go anywhere. So I don't know if they can get over that, Baker Mayfield, he does have an injury to his arm, so maybe that will limit his ability to throw, which could definitely help the cornerback situation if the Ravens can get to him, force him to pass the ball off to a run. Then the Ravens should be able to contain the Cleveland Brown offense pretty well, hopefully. Looking at the injury report for Wednesday, Anthony Averett, he did not participate. He is a cornerback. Nick Boyle did not participate again, so it doesn't look like Nick Boyle will be coming back. He played two games after that really bad injury last year. He played two games earlier this year and then hasn't been back. Calais Campbell did not participate on Wednesday. That could be a huge blow if he's not there on the defensive line. Justin Houston, he never practices on a Wednesday. He's because he's a veteran. Anthony Levine Sr. did not participate. Chris Westry, though, was a full participant, which was good in this already beat-up cornerback squad. So hopefully he will be there and be able to do something. I don't know. This is a very difficult game to call. Lamar was able to throw the ball a lot. He was not able to run against Cleveland last time around, so I think that they're going to force him to throw the ball again, but can he get that same magic he got with Mark Andrews 2 weeks ago? I sure hope so, but I don't know. I feel like the offense should be able to put some points on the board, but will it be enough to fend off Baker Mayfield? I kind of feel as if we're going to be flip-flopped and the Browns are going to win this one, and it's going to be 16-13 Browns this time around. Okay. Still low scoring, but I don't know. The Browns are at home this time around. They're well rested. They want to get that win back from 2 weeks ago, so they're motivated. I feel as if, you know, if you're rolling the dice, there's a good chance the Browns are going to be the favorite team at this point. I don't know. I really want to see what happens with the cornerbacks. Without Marlon Humphrey, can they survive? We saw what happened against the Colts with Anthony Averett. They just picked on him the entire time. Has he recovered from something like that? Can Chris Westry step up? Can he be the next man up? Can he take that number one spot?
Yeah.
And I don't know.
You don't know. You don't know because we haven't. Now that because we know the injuries have just impacted the team freshly, we don't know what this team's going to be like. We don't know how the secondary is going to hold up. So not saying take an easy way out and predicting the game, but it's like, you're right. We really don't know how it's going to hold up. And until we see the result, and then you can even go game to game, you know, they might not perform well against Baker on Sunday. And then we could be talking about a second straight loss and they're 8-5. Who knows? They might go out and shock the world and beat the Packers and then hold Aaron Rodgers and be like, is it the same secondary that just got lasered by Baker Mayfield and the Browns? And then, I mean, you just don't know. But until now, if they keep the game close and they hold them at bay, and even if it's still an L, all right, we might be okay. But if they get toasted, given the rattling off the opponents that we have left and they get toasted on Sunday, bro, it's going to look bleak.
It's going to be hard to come back from. I mean,
Lamar, the offense has to get in gear. I mean, we've seen what they can do. We've seen it. They put up 30-something points against the Chiefs going toe-to-toe with them. They came back with a vengeance against the Colts. They put up 30-something against 34 points against the Vikings in overtime. They can do it. And I don't know what's the holdup, what's the hindrance, you know. Lamar needs to relax. The whole offense needs to relax. Everybody just needs to relax and just back doing your job because, you know, I don't know. Right now, I mean, New England's got a rookie quarterback playing way better than Lamar right now, and that's atrocious to even say. So better get in gear. That's all I got to tell you. But I'm right there with you, man. I think it's going to be a closely contested L for the Ravens in Cleveland. Put them in 8-5 and maybe then they'll get in gear, but we'll see. But hope they prove us wrong somehow, some way, some form. But until we see the aftermath of this loss and the bad taste that they have against Pittsburgh, and if it motivates them to do better, and how this injury is going to affect, we already know the injury is going to affect them big time. It's just how is that going to translate in the field? We shall see.
Yeah, looking at the schedule ahead for the rest of December, early January, you've got the Browns, the Packers, the Bengals, the Rams, the Steelers. I mean, in those games, maybe two more wins? Maybe. I mean, if the Ravens are lucky, maybe they can get two more wins out of those five. I don't know. Only time will tell. Let's see. I guess let's just go week by week. This is a week by week league. Let's see how they do against Cleveland first. Definitely help them if and maybe boost their confidence a little bit if they were able to get a win on Sunday. So let's hope for that. But I don't know how you get over the loss of Marlon Humphrey for the season. That's a massive one. Huge, huge one on the defense. So we'll see what happens, man. I guess we'll just have to wait and see. But this one's going to be one to watch. I wouldn't be surprised if, like, this is a late flex or something like that, just because everyone's got their eyes on this one after the last time these two teams met.
All eyes on this team, brother.
All eyes on them. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this episode of The Call?
A lot to unpack. I think we did it in style, as we do here on The Call. Put this all behind us and see what happens against the Cleveland Browns. Quote the Raven, nevermore.
All right, guys. Well, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCast. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
Now go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. Plus, you can listen to our show directly on our Facebook page, either as a video or as a podcast. That's a new feature on Facebook, so you can definitely listen to us right there on Facebook. Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast. Google Podcasts, Spotify, Facebook, and YouTube. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you're social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan, I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that is pretty much it for the show this week. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so very much, man. Just saw a quote from Anthony Averett as you were doing the sign out. Nobody cares. We just have to keep going regarding the injuries. Remember, nobody cares. Work harder. Ravens got to work harder all around, all facets. Time is now to dig in. Got three divisional games left, two against quality NFC opponents. Five games. They have the opportunity to do it here. Can they get to those 10, 11 wins and qualify? We shall see. I don't know what it's going to look like. The AFC race is hotly – it's very heated, very tight. No one knows what's going to happen. The division race is just that much tighter. It's going to be another war in Cleveland. Got about number two. See if we can sweep the Cleveland Browns this year in 2021. It's going to be a big, huge task, but – guess we got to act like Anthony Averett and everybody else, right? Just guess we shouldn't care. Just got to keep digging, keep going. And that's the only thing you can do, you know, no matter what. And no matter what this season has thrown at the Ravens, but no matter what the outcome has been, it's been one of the craziest rides. And I don't think anybody would be hard-pressed to let that get forgotten. You know, no matter how many frustrations that we can do and how many joyful occasions that we can celebrate this year, one thing's for certain, it's been a ride, Ravens, and let's keep this going for five more weeks and then some January football. Got to dig in. Let's go. War in Cleveland on Sunday. Baltimore Ravens, how about it? You're going to prove us wrong and fly high out of there with a win? Let's do it.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.